God of perfection, a God of holiness, a God of purity, in contrast and in opposition to man and all his wickedness, in opposition to you and all your sin, in opposition to the world in all its debauchery. How can a holy and just God who demands punishment for sin love a sinful humanity? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The question that we're dealing with today is, what do you think about God? A lot of people think of God as a belligerent old being sitting on a throne, who is ready to pounce and to judge and condemn to hell all who break the commandments. He is willing and ready to pronounce judgment on everyone and all. And therefore they live in fear of God. They live under the cloud, seeking to work and seeking to do and please him by their own works. On the other end of the spectrum, there are those who think of God as a sentimental old gentleman who loves everything, who is willing to ignore their sins, who is willing to tolerate their imperfections, who is willing to brush under the carpet their sins and their wickedness because he loves them. In reality, both the justice of God and the love of God are two characteristics of the same and one God. They are not contradictory, but complementary. The question is, and the contention is, how can these two characteristics, these two attributes of God, be correlated? How can the justice of God, his wrath and his judgment on a sinful people, and his love be correlated? The answer is found simply in John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, called this the Little Bible. It has been called the Bible and the Gospel in miniature. It has been called the Gospel in a nutshell, and for good reason. Because in John chapter 3 verse 16 we have the justice of God, his judgment and his wrath on a sinful humanity, and his love coming together in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Romans, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. If you're going to be saved today, if you're going to be converted today, then you must accept what God has given. You must accept God's sacrifice for sin. That is Christ. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 10, we read that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The Lord has put him to grief. God has taken Christ, and Christ, as Philippians tells us, has given up of himself for our sins. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The conflict and the contention between God and man then is met in Christ. I nor you could present ourselves as a sacrifice for our own sins. We owed a debt that we could never pay. And so God has presented Christ as a sacrifice on my behalf. And if you accept Christ today, then you accept the sacrifice that God has made for sin. The question that we must answer, the question that you must answer, is how can I be reconciled with God? How can a man be just before God? How can you stand on the judgment day, holy and just and right and reconciled before God? If you believe today that Christ has been offered up for your sins, and if you exercise faith in Christ and repentance toward God for your sins and accept the sacrifice that God has made on your behalf, Then as the verse said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.